Praise God. Classes, you can be dismissed. Everyone can be seated. I love to worship the Lord. I especially don't want a rock to take my place, because Jesus told some people that tried to shut his disciples down, if they stop praising me, even the rocks will cry out. And I don't want a rock to take my place. I saw a picture that was sent from our missionary in Madagascar, maybe, or the South Pacific, and they were having a tremendous rainstorm, and they were having revival, and it was Easter Sunday. Ladies were dressed in, you know how ladies do at Easter, and guys in their suits, and there was mud everywhere, but man, were they worshiping. I think 18 received the Holy Ghost. Now, that's worship. That's worship, that no matter what's going on around me and no matter what the situation, I'm going to worship the Lord. Praise God. When we have that mindset, there's no telling what God can do. This past month of April, our Sunday schools have all dealt with prayer, prayer for certain things, different situations, different circumstances. And in each case, it was the fact that Jesus had to pray. We know he was God manifested in the flesh, but that word flesh tells the story that even Jesus found time that he had to pray. I want to go to Matthew, the 26th chapter, and going to begin with verse 36. Praise God. I'll tell you what, Brother McGuire is usually here on Wednesday night, and it's hard to take his place. Now, I'm telling you right now, I love Brother McGuire. I love to hear his teaching. Matthew 26, 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. He had just had the Passover and had been betrayed, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Now, when we find ourselves in problems with situations, you know what it is to be sorrowful. You're heavy with the circumstances that come on us. Then saith he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. We see here the flesh part of Christ. I'm sure that that flesh did not want to go through what it was going to go through. He knew what he had come for. There was a purpose for him to be here. And he understood that purpose. But if there was any other way, let this cup pass from me. And he came and he found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. Sometimes we just get so tired. Have you ever been too tired to pray? Well, of course. We kind of make fun of Peter and the disciples that couldn't even wait for an hour, watch with the Lord for an hour, but they were tired. They were wore out. But just a few hours before this prayer meeting, Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. They were having a good time. But he told them that one of you is going to betray me. And I could imagine the looks on their faces, the doubt. How could anyone betray you? And so they began to ask him, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Got finally down to Judas, and he didn't say, Lord, is it I? He said, Master, is it I? Now, I've often wondered if it was Judas, he could accept him as master and teacher, but not as Lord. Where was he when Jesus asked Peter, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "Well, some say you're John the Baptist, some Elijah, and different things." And he asked Peter, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter answered him, said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you. This is something special. Upon the rock of this revelation, I'm going to build my church." Where was Judas? Didn't he understand who Jesus was? Judas had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. Walked with him, talked with him, ate dinners with him, ate suppers with him. He was eyewitness to the many miracles. He had traveled with Jesus all over the country and had eaten dinners with him. But for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, he betrayed the Lord. I'm not asking for a show of hands, but has anybody ever felt betrayed by someone that you loved or that was very near to you? Have you ever felt anger? Have you ever felt the old, they used to say, the old devil rising up in you? But the emotions that we would have had under those circumstances, very possibly Jesus had those same, because he was tempted in all points like us. He had the same emotions that we have. He was angered and threw the tables over in the temple, remember? He was angry. And I wonder if he might have had it just for a little bit. He was so hurt from the rejection that he could have had it fester in him like we do sometimes. And it would have been so easy to lash out at Judas, lash out at the soldiers that came to arrest him. Anyone, I want you to hear my pain. I don't want... I've been hurt, and you need to know my pain. That's the way we are many times. When we are going through a trial, when we're suffering situations that, we just don't know how we can go any further, a lot of times we let our emotions take over. I don't believe I'm the only one. Jesus could have allowed his humanity to overwhelm him and distract him from his purpose. His purpose was to come to die for our salvation. But instead, he knew the only way to overcome this, the only way to get past the hurt of rejection was to pray. Oh, it is so hard to pray when I've been hurt. It's so hard to go to the Lord in prayer when I am rejected. I'll never forget when I was about 6 years old, I had a good friend down in Missouri. I went to a one-room schoolhouse. I'm that old. And I had a friend. And we finished our homework. We got to go up to the blackboard and write on the blackboard, doodle, whatever we wanted. And my friend came up beside me and said, "I don't want to be your friend no more." Oh, I was hurt. Man, I was hurt. I didn't know what to think. But the older we get, when we have situations like that, I wonder if we react the same way as probably I did then. Anger, frustration, hurt. It's easier for us to lash out at those that have hurt us, those that have betrayed us, than it is to give ourselves to prayer. Now, I'm hoping tonight to get it across to all of us how important prayer is when we are in trials. If I was asked how many's in a trial right now, I probably would see a few hands go up. If I were to ask how many here tonight has been hurt just this week, there might be some hands go up. But no matter what is going on in our lives, we have got to find our way to a prayer closet. No matter how hurt we are, no matter how bad the circumstances is, it's so easy to complain about our circumstances, much easier to complain about our circumstance than it is to pray. I hope I'm not just preaching to me, but if it is, that's okay. I need this. It's in our darkest trials that we need to seek God's will. But when things are going wrong and the trials are so harsh and hard, we need to be able to go to the Lord in prayer. We need to find God's will for the purpose. Why am I going through this, Lord? Why do I have to go through this? What have I done? You ever said that? What have I ever done to get this? But when we can realize that God's purpose and plan for our lives is greater than what we can see right now, amen. If we can see that what God has for our lives, we can go on and rise above our emotions and overcome our anger and our frustration and go to our prayer closet, amen, when we realize God has a purpose for us, and there is a purpose for the trial we're going through. Have you ever gone through a trial and say, there is nothing good can come out of this? Anything ever happened to you, think, there's just no way. There's nothing good could come out of this situation. Many times I want to lash out in anger at those that have hurt me. Amen. Withdraw from reality. Withdraw from reality. Live in my own mind. Think about the pain and the unfairness of what's going on. Your mind is a terrible thing. Your mind is a terrible thing. And it's hard to think that what I'm going through is good for me. But Romans 8 and verse 28, the writer said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Paul said, we know. In other words, it's a certainty that everything we go through is for a purpose. It's working for our good. And well, when I lost my job, it didn't seem like that was very good. When a friend betrayed me, that didn't seem like that was good for me. How could those things be good for me? We can know in our hearts that scripture is true, but it's hard to get in our spirit. I mean, we can know it in our head, but it's hard to get it in our spirit, in our heart. This is going to be good for me. I'm going to come out on the other side a better man. I'm going to come out on the other side closer to God. Our biggest challenge is to bring our emotions under control to the Holy Ghost. Lord, you take control. Whatever the situation is, God, you take care of it. You handle it. But all too often we want to handle it ourselves, amen? He knows what our response will ultimately be, and he knows what our response is going to take care of. And I'll tell you what, when we do it ourselves, we're going to be wrong. I had worked for the city of Littleton Street Department when I was a young man, all of 6'2" and 135 pounds. Strapping man, wasn't quite as husky as I am now. And there was a man that worked there that he did not like me. There's a lot of people like that, but this man didn't like me. And he didn't like that I didn't cuss. Why don't you cuss? I said, well, another man spoke up and said, well, he's intelligent enough, he can think of other words. I had a friend that kind of stuck up for me, but this man was so obnoxious to me. He did small things, put gravel in my helmet, all kinds of stuff, just to irritate me. And I was young enough that I didn't realize what prayer could do. And so I went to him and I said, knock it off or else. That's stupid. He was 6 foot tall and about 220. And that night he called me at home. He said, I want to meet you at the racetrack. We're going to fight. We're going to settle this. I said, no, we're not going to fight. I decided to pray. Oh, if I could have prayed sooner, it would have been a whole lot better. But I prayed. I finally realized prayer does work. So I prayed. And a few weeks later, we went on vacation over Memorial Day, you know, like some of y'all going to do. And I got back to work and went into work and said, well, it happened this week. I said, what? Somebody stole some things from the area there, and they made all of us take lie detector tests. I didn't have to take a lie detector test. I wasn't there. And the next day, this man was called into the office, and the boss told him, you're the one that did it. You're fired. If I could have only let God handle it from the get-go, from the start. I wouldn't have had the frustration of listening to that man yell in my ear that he wanted to fight me. I wouldn't have had to go through all of the situation that developed from all of that. I could have just went to God and said, Lord, here it is. I have a burden I need you to take care of. And God would have said, okay, I'll take care of it. He's a little devil anyway. I'll take care of him. But prayer is a necessity when we're going through a trial, especially. But prayer should be at all times, of course. But there are many actions that we take during a trial. But no matter what we do, we've got to understand it's important to pray. And instead of becoming frustrated, instead of lashing out in anger, instead of giving way to depression, pray. Pray. I tell you, sometimes I've heard so much about depression lately. So many people are depressed for different things. And I realize there is a chemical problem in some people's life that situation will come out. It'll be depressing. But when I get depressed because you don't like me, I forgot to pray. Even though Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, it didn't exempt him from the same types of trials and same feelings and emotions, experiences that we have today. It's the same thing. And on the night Judas betrayed him, he could have lashed out in anger. He could have said, this test is unfair. I shouldn't have to go through this. Amen. He could have acted out like Peter did. Soldiers came to arrest Jesus. Peter pulled out his sword. I'm going to protect the Savior. I'm going to protect the Lord. He cut off the soldier's ear. And what did Jesus say? Well, see, Jesus had just got through praying. He had just prayed. Peter didn't pray. Remember, he was asleep. He was tired, didn't sleep. He was ready to lash out in anger. He was ready to fight. But Jesus had prayed. And Jesus told him, said, don't you know that I could call 12 legions of angels? But that's not the purpose. And that's not my purpose. Because I have prayed, not my will, but thine be done. Boy, that's a hard prayer to pray. Prayer is something that must be a part of our lives every day. Amen. Every day. Is it easy for us to pray when we're going through a trial? No. When we're discouraged, is it easy to pray? Is it easy to pray when we dwell on the pain, the suffering that we're going through? Do we consider payback instead of prayer? When situations develop and trials, I'll tell you, trials can be so heavy. Do we go to our prayer closet? That's what we need to do. Anything that comes up, that situation on the job, situation at home, situation at work, doesn't matter. I got to go to my prayer closet. Got to. If I don't pray when everything is sunshine and roses, I'm not going to know how to pray when the trouble comes. If I don't have a consistent prayer life, when trouble comes, I'm not going to know how to pray and get a hold of God. It's too many times I only come to church when I need something from God. Or I only pray when I have a need. Well, what about when I don't need a need and I'm feeling good and everything's fine and I've got a job and money's coming in and I got food on the table and a car to drive. And I need to be praying then too. Because when the trials come, and believe me, they will come. Be sure, trials will come your way. And if you're not praying before that, it's going to be hard to get that consistent prayer during those times. Amen. Too many times I let my emotions gain control of my thinking, and my mind is great at conjuring up ways to get even. My mind can think of many ways. I know how this situation is going to fall, and boy, I'm going to be in deep trouble. No, I can think of all kinds of scenarios that this situation, I'll probably end up in jail. They're going to sue me. We could think of all kinds of things. And 99% of the time, it's never what we think. It's never as bad as we think. But when I'm hurt or going through a trial, I can't see the purpose or the end of the trial. I can't see on the other side. I can't see the other side of my trial. Amen. Without prayer, I can only see the failure. I can only see the pain. I can only see the hurt. It's like we get into a tunnel. I remember we used to go hunting in Colorado. In this particular area was a box canyon. And it was truly a box canyon, one way in and one way out. And you're going down the valley of this canyon, and you can see up the side, and so high up that there's no trees growing up there. That's how high it was. Go up this side as high, far as you could see, and no trees on the top there. Same thing ahead of us. Only one way in and one way out. When we're in a trial, when we're in trouble, we may not be able to see the end, but if we could turn around and see where God has brought us from and realize He's still our God, He's still in control, He's still our friend, and He'll take us right back where we should be. He'll put us where we need to be, and we might need to be on top of that mountain. But if I'm in the valley, praise God, I want God to be there with me. Pray. I want to be able to look at the mountains. I want to climb the mountains. But I want to make sure that my heart is right with God, and prayer is the only thing that will get me there. Prayer is powerful if we use it. Amen. There are different kinds of prayer, different levels of prayer. When you're sick, that's one prayer. A lot of times, you ever been too sick to pray for yourself? Sure, probably all of us have been at one time or another. A job, that's a different kind of prayer. Your kids, that's a different kind of prayer. But when we've been hurt or we're confused by the trial we're going through, we may not even know how to pray. I know how to pray for my kids. I know how to pray for my family. I know when I was working, I knew how to pray for my job well after I finally got through that when I was a young man. But we may not know how to pray. But that's when the Holy Ghost takes over. If I have had a consistent prayer life when everything's good, and now I'm in trouble, and I get down to pray, and it's running through my mind, and I'm trying to pray, the Holy Ghost can take over. The Holy Ghost can take over and pray for us. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You ever been in that position? Lord, I'm prayed out. I'm bent over. I'm on the floor. My face is in the floor. I can't even speak, and I'm just groaning in the Spirit. The power of the Holy Ghost may be speaking in tongues through me. Amen. What a great promise. If I don't know what to pray about and how to pray my way through that situation, the Holy Ghost will pray for me. The Spirit of God that's in me will take over and do the praying for me. When we continue in prayer, we may not know how to pray during that trial, but if we pray, the Spirit will take over and give intercession. We will always get victory. Hear me. We will always get victory when we put our flesh under subjection to the Holy Ghost, when we bring our emotions down under the control of the power of the Holy Ghost, when we seek the power of God and we seek the will of God, we will have victory. We may not see it today. We may not. And listen, you may pray today and get victory, but it won't show up maybe sometimes for a week or a month or a year. But the victory was won in prayer. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God that He heard you. Trust that He knows our hearts. He understands where we are. And He understands our pain. He has suffered the same kind of afflictions we've suffered. He suffered the same kind of emotions that we've suffered. And He suffered a whole lot more than we will ever suffer. Amen. Physically. And we all suffer trials. We all suffer hurts and disappointments. But take it to the Lord. What's that old song we used to sing? Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, no, it's much easier to pick that burden up and take it back with me. Come through the church word and disturbed and upset and go to the altar and pray and get up and go back out and worry and fret and pray. And no, give it to the Lord. Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 6. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I like that. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God. Oh my goodness. The peace of God. In the midst of trial, can you have peace? When the disciples were crossing the sea and the wind was blowing and the waves were beating against the ship. And Jesus was on board with them. But He was sleeping. There was peace right there. How can you sleep during a time like that? Amen. He was the peace speaker. When he stepped out and they said, "Don't you care that we're going to die? We're going to perish. We're all upset and we're scared." And we get the same way sometimes. "Lord, don't you care I'm going through this? Don't you care that I'm frustrated? Don't you?" Peace. Jesus said, "Peace. Be still." The wind quit blowing. The waves settled down. Amen. "And the peace of God," verse 7, "which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Praise God. Amen. Oh, if I could only get that in my heart today. Past my mind, into my heart, that God is going to give me peace no matter what the situation is going on around me. No matter what I'm going through, whether it's my job or my home or the situation across the street, whatever. God, give me peace. That peace, I can understand peace to a point. But we need to understand peace like the Japanese did at the end of World War II. When the Japanese stepped on board the battleship Missouri, they said, "We want peace, and these are our conditions." And our general said, "They ain't no conditions. It's total surrender." And that's what we need to do. God, here I am. I totally surrender. I turn to you my problems. I give my heart. I'm not going to be careful for anything, God. I'm just giving it all to you. Lord, I want you to take care of it. I need this financial blessing. I need this healing. I need. God knows what we have need before we ever ask. Amen. But God knows the end of the trial before it began. He knows what's going to happen at the end of that trial. He knows the healing that we need for our wounds. Praise God. You don't just bandage a stab wound. You get incision. You don't just put iodine on a broken leg. You get it set. God knows what we need for the situation that we're in. He knows what we need for the trial that we're going through. Praise God. Our prayers may not bring an instant deliverance, but our prayer can give us strength to face the situation that we're in to get us to the other side. Praise God. We can ask why it's happening to him. We can ask what good can come out of it and all of that. And some have gotten into trials and they gave up on God, said, "What's the use? What's the use serving God?" And I've heard that actually spoken. What good has it done me to serve God? Look at what's going on in my life. Not knowing, not understanding the power of God, not understanding the power of prayer. If we don't understand the power there is in prayer, we probably will never get to the point God wants us to get. We've got to understand the power of prayer. Those trials will continue to come. One scripture tells us, don't be surprised when trials come. Don't be surprised because those things are going to happen. But when we have God, Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Amen. Hebrews 11 is a chapter that tells all about the great heroes of faith, but Paul continues on Hebrews 12, 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," there's others gone through what you're going through right now, and they came through. If they did it, we can do it. Amen. "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Paul says, "Wherefore, we're surrounded by such a great a cloud of witnesses. I told you about Moses. I told you about Abraham. I told you about Noah. I told you about David in chapter 11. And see, we are surrounded by all these people that have made it. They've been through the fire. They've been through the flood, and they've made it." He said, "Now lay aside every weight and every sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience." I can't see the finish line yet. I'm getting closer. I can't see the finish line yet. But I know the race has been laid out. And if I continue to run that race, if I continue on the path that God has set me, I'm going to see the finish line. And I know what's waiting for me. Paul said, "I know what I'm going to get. I see it. I'm going to get a crown of life. My race is almost done. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course," Paul said. "And now there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." Praise God. Amen. He said we must run with patience this race that is set before us. We may not see the finish line. Some of us are older and maybe a little closer than some of you might think, but we must run with patience this race. We're tired. We may be tired. We may be weary. We may be worn and hurt, but we've got to keep looking to heaven, reminding ourselves it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small. All the times that we've gone through and the heartaches we've suffered and the pain and all of that, when we see him, it's going to be worth it all. It will be worth it all. I love that song. Forgot, I hadn't heard that in a long time. Amen. Prayer will help us endure those trials. Just remembering what waits us. Not praying while going through trials will affect our spirit. Not praying can cause us to fail and fall prey to temptation. David had been anointed king. He was just a young man, a lad, the Bible said, when he was anointed king and chosen by God. But he didn't ascend to the throne right away. He went back watching the sheep. And there watching the sheep, he wrote many psalms and he sang. And the Bible tells us he ran from Saul because Saul wanted to kill him. And I don't think I've had anybody want to kill me yet. I don't think. Well, maybe one. But no, seriously. But Saul wanted to kill David. He was so mad at David, he threw a spear at his own son, Jonathan. Can you imagine being so angry? Because he was going through a trial. He was going through some trouble. But David ran. And I'm sure David wondered why God allowed that situation to go on for so long. Some say that it was as many as 7 or 10 years that he ran from Saul. But I want to read Psalms 142, and I'm coming to a close. 142, verse 1. This is a prayer of David when he was in the cave hiding from Saul. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. Oh, hallelujah. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I poured out my complaint. Or with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. What a horrible condition to think that you're in. Nobody cares. Nobody understands. The enemy has laid traps for me everywhere I go. But he said in verse 5, I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. Doesn't matter how bad Saul wants to kill me or how long I've got to run. Thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. As long as I've got you, God, that's all I really need. Hallelujah. As long as I've got the power of God in my life, that's what I really need. Praise God. But he said, attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. There you go. I've been in this horrible condition, but Lord, I want to praise your name. I want to praise your name. Bring my soul out of this prison. Lord, get me through this trial. Get me to the other side because I want to praise your name. I want to lift up your name. I want to glorify you. I want to be able to tell those on the other side, God brought me through that. Yeah, it was tough. It was hard. It was rough, but God brought me through. I want to be able to praise your name. I want to lift you up, God. Amen. That I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Praise God. I'm going to have a church full of folks that love me. No matter what the situation's going on in my life, I know I've got those that love me. Praise God. And the righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully for me. Praise God. No matter what is going on, I haven't had to hide in a cave. I haven't had to run from the spear or the bow and arrow. I haven't had to run. But I've had trials. I've had trouble. I've had situations that if I could go back and undo and change, I would do in a heartbeat. But that's yesterday. I don't live yesterday. I live today for tomorrow. My tomorrow is where it's all at. And living today through prayer, supplication, giving myself over to God. David poured out his complaints before God, but he didn't stay there. He didn't stay in the cave. He didn't stay depressed. He didn't stay down. In nearly every psalm David wrote, he pours out his heart to God, and then he ends that psalm praising God, giving him glory. Amen. When God brings us through our trials, when he gets us to the other side, let's praise him. While we're going through those trials, let's worship him and pray. Worship him and pray. Seek the face of God. Seek the will of God. Lord, if this is your will, okay. But Lord, you got to take me through it. I can't do it myself. I tell God every day, Lord, I can't do this by myself. I've got to have you. I've got to have the power of the Holy Ghost in my life every day. God, if I don't have you, I can't go on. I've got to have you. And I continue and I pray and seek after the things of God. And when I come through on the other side, I can lift my voice and my hands and praise him and glorify him and know that it was God that brought us through. Praise God. Can we stand? Amen. If anyone is here today that has gone through a trial lately or a heartache or a situation that you really need prayer, God, I just need to pray. And I need the saints of God to pray with me. I need the pastor to pray for me. I need prayer, maybe on a job or whatever the situation. Let's reach out to him tonight. Let's reach out to him. God, there may be others around me that, and maybe I'm fine. Maybe everything is sunshine and roses for me. But there may be somebody standing near me that, Lord, you know they're going through a heartache. They're having trouble. They're having problems. They're going through a trial. Lord, I want you to take your spirit and lay on them. Robe your righteousness around them. Robe your holiness around them. Let the love of God and the compassion of Christ be in their hearts and their lives and carry them through the trial that they're going through. And whether it be a sickness, a physical sickness, a pain, or whatever it might be, God, you know, you understand. Lord, you understand. Amen. Let's sing and worship the Lord. Praise God.